Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the June NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You'll be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the Raise Hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comments. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to unmute their phone and press star and then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into a queue to provide comments. You may withdraw from the queue at any time by pressing star and then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star and then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Tim Sullivan to read the open public meeting notice.
Thanks, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger, Bergen Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Pursuant to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, this is a public hearing, and comments are invited on any private activity bond projects presented today.
Thank you, Tim. And Eric, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chairman Terrence O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow.
Here.
Phil Villaggio. Aisha Glover, Fred Dumont,
here.
Jewel Antoine Johnson,
here.
Marcia Morley, Robert Shimko, not here. Robert Shimko, Josh Weinbridge,
here.
Jameer Thurman from the Governor's Office,
here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Labor Commissioner Robert Angelo.
Here.
Thank you. Manuel Polino for Commissioner Justin Zimmerman.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean LaTourette.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manira.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Bill Elijah, I've joined the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Robert Shimko. I think he's here, but.
Okay, we have one set of minutes to approve today. Before you are the minutes from the May 13th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. I kindly request that board members state their name for the record when making a motion or a second. Thank you. I hear a motion to approve the May 13th board minutes, please.
Fred Dumont motion.
Thank you. Fred, second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Aye.
Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. I make some brief chairman's remarks today. Welcome to the NJEDA's June board meeting. As we enter the summer months, and it certainly feels like a summer day outside today, it's time once again to kick off the annual North Shore Festival, a statewide tribute to New Jersey's vibrant arts and culture scene. While rooted in promoting the arts, the festival also drives economic growth and attracts businesses, new residents, and visitors to the Garden State. In 2023, the festival's first year, the NJEDA awarded $2 million to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, NJPAC, to help bring North Shore to life. That investment supported a festival featuring over 300 artists across more than 100 venues, drawing an audience of over 250,000 people statewide. In 2023, North Shore generated $7.6 million in ticket sales alone, providing a major boost to the state's economy. Last year, the NJEDA joined as a sponsor for North Shore alongside Prudential, NJM Insurance Group, and United Airlines, which generated $6.9 million in revenue. As we approach our third year, North Shore is expected to be more robust than ever, with the cities of Newark, Asbury Park, and Atlantic City once again serving as premier destinations for arts and entertainment with an emphasis on community-based initiatives. While showcasing New Jersey's creative spirit, North Shore also reinforces the state's commitment to the arts as a catalyst for economic growth, tourism, and statewide vitality. North Shore works to attract talented artists to the state, generating jobs through festival design and operations, and strengthening New Jersey's tourism and local economies. As part of the program, North Shore awards grants to culturally diverse artists, arts organizations, nonprofits, and small businesses. This funding is used to bring original art events to life while spotlighting underrecognized artists and organizations in each city. Everyone is encouraged to visit NorthShore.com to check out the multitude of events happening over the next several weeks, and we encourage you to attend. With that, let me turn it over to Tim for the CEO's report.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. We have a busy agenda to get through, so I'm going to try and be brief, but it's a busy time of year, and there's a fair bit to highlight. If you have a written report in your pack or in front of you, outlining a number of things, but I just want to tick through a couple of things. One, May and June are busy months for celebrations and commemorations. June, of course, is Pride Month. We had a great night at Trent Thunder game last Thursday. Thunder didn't win, but that was a great night. We'll be celebrating Juneteenth next week. At the end of May, I was in Lakewood commemorating Jewish American Heritage Month, doing a small business tour in Lakewood. So a lot going on, celebrating and commemorating the rich diversity that makes New Jersey, New Jersey. We also have had a number of milestones on important projects and awards that this board has approved over the months and years. Kathleen and a number of other folks were in Atlantic City, actually in Atlantic County, a week or two ago for the topping off ceremony for the aviation-related Strategic Innovation Center, the second building at NARTP, which is an exciting milestone for that project, one of our 10 so far Strategic Innovation Centers, and our two South Jersey Innovation Centers. I was also with Dan Jennings and Mayor Cassiora, and council leadership in Trenton on Friday of last week to announce $7 million of grant funding from the Urban Investment Fund that this board had approved at a prior meeting to rehabilitate and restore two historic structures, one at the Eagle Tavern, which is older than the Revolution. George Washington reportedly somewhat, probably, possibly hung out and drank there. It's certainly not true enough to say it. As well as the Roebling Factory. Shout out to Liz, team of Treasury, and Julie on her team, who's a great partner in all the things we do around Trenton under the EO 40, Executive Order 40, that Governor Murphy signed back in 2018 to make the state a better, stronger partner to the city and the county as it relates to Trenton development. We're also continuing to push ahead. Thankfully, most of the sort of traffic-related emergency has abated in Morris County on Route 80. But the Route 80 grant program has been quite successful and well-received. We've approved now 330 applications, a little more than $2 million, and provided really, really importantly needed funding there. So, again, a lot going on. I could go on for a while. You have board dashboard, which reviews, keeps you posted on sort of the various program-by-program elements, including things like tax credit certifications, which fly under the radar a little bit, significant activity in certifying tax credits under things like the GROW program and the HUB program that are vintage programs, but still important. The folks who rely on them and are active participants in them. And you can see that we continue to make approvals on things like annual tax credit, manufacturing voucher program, small business suite of tools in between meetings as well. So approaching $700 million of approvals year to date. We'll take that number well above 700 after this meeting, in a touch wood, and really an important indicator of how many different programs and initiatives the team is administering so well. One sort of point of personal privilege, just want to give a shout out to Hector Serrano, who recently became a U.S. citizen. Thank you for the use of the EDA. Being a U.S. citizen. With that, happy to take any questions or answer.
Anyone on the phone, questions for Tim? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move forward to the public comments section of the meeting. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I will ask Daniel Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Microsoft Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending by Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak one at a time in order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you're unable to remain muted as needed. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star, then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to speak and provide comment based on the order received. I'll now go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, on the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak, and related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. I will now acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time who are in the room. Anyone?
Hello, my name is Molly Dykstra. I represent 120 East State, which is on your agenda at number 13. I understand you haven't acted yet, as I'm a Presbyterian minister. You know, I wouldn't thank you before you act. So thank you for having us on your docket today. We are very grateful to the HPRP program staff and the others who have helped us get to this place in our application process. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room? Anyone on Teams? Show any hands? Anyone, operator, on the phone?
And again, for the members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press star and then one. Our first caller is Norm Sateria, a resident. You may go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Norm Sateria, Bloomfield, New Jersey. I'm commenting today just as a resident and a taxpayer on three quick things. I wanted to thank the NJEDA for the Route 80 program for the businesses there. I also wanted to thank you. I see that Greenway funding and a vote on that for phase one is happening. That is just a monumental project here in New Jersey for green space, particularly in urban areas. The last thing that I wanted to just talk about is, and I know that this is an executive session, the NJEDA is considering purchases of properties from NJ Transit. Once that is completely done, I would like to encourage a public release of all the properties that were purchased on the website so that residents know what transit-oriented development is happening in their neighborhoods, in their towns, in their cities, because that will have effects overall for land use. Positive ones, very, very positive ones, and I'm not worried about that. And then also, if the EDA, once they reach that point of purchasing, fully completing those purchases and all the checks and balances, I would also encourage the EDA, when they engage with developers, to consider a 20% affordable housing as part of any sort of residential project that happens there. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for the comments. It's Sam. I don't know if you're on Teams or on the phone. I can see us, but appreciate the comments. Thanks for the kind words on Route 80 and the Greenway. As it relates to transit-oriented development, yeah, we will certainly make all those properties public once everything is sort of done and dusted with the transaction. We'll be working closely with communities. We have been already with mayors and elected leadership in each of the places that are on the list. It's an incredibly important thing to get right because development is obviously a hot topic. Housing development is always a hot topic. And I think your comment about affordability, I think without getting too much into the weeds, I think that's certainly been the Murphy administration approach, generally speaking, with regard to housing development. I don't expect that to be carried forward here. Past January 20th, I can't comment on who or what might be in charge and what their principles and priorities might be, but certainly that's been consistent with the Murphy administration's approach to all residential development that we've been a part of.
Operator, any other comments on the phone?
I have no additional comments on the line at this time.
Okay, thank you. So we'll consider the public comment section closed and move forward to the items for consideration today. First, as we do at every meeting, we'll give a brief report on the committee meetings that took place since our last board meeting. The audit committee met on May 29th and was provided with regular updates and reports, including the 2024 annual report narrative, which will be presented for action today. Also, on May 30th, the NJEDA Policy Committee met and considered several items which are being presented for action today. Highlights include updates to the Angel Match and the NJ ZIP programs, an NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund qualified investment, and government restricted municipality phase two grants, grant awards, and revisions. Staff will present each item as part of today's agenda. So moving forward with our first matter, Virginia Flood on the NJEDA 2024 annual report narrative.
Good morning.
Great.
Included in your package for today's meeting are the narrative and activity report portions of the 2024 NJEDA annual report. This report highlights the NJEDA's many achievements and milestones reached throughout 2024, including many businesses all over the state that have been supported under the insightful guidance of this board. Beginning in 2006, to meet the requirements of Executive Order Number 37, the narrative annual report has been combined with the authority's audited financial statements and serves as the NJEDA's comprehensive annual report. Beginning in 2024 with the 2023 annual report, to provide updates to the board earlier, the authority bifurcated the report into two reports, the narrative and activity reports before you today and the audited financial statements, which will be presented later this year. Under Executive Order Number 37, mentioned previously, the authority is required to obtain approval of its comprehensive annual report from its board. Upon approval, this report will be submitted to the authority's unit, posted to the NJEDA's website, and transmitted electronically to members of the legislature. I am happy to answer any questions. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Virginia. Too, I think the report does a really nice job narratively summarizing and encapsulating the impact of our work, which is obviously broad and deep and diverse. You might be wondering why we're doing this twice. Some of it's just practicality. The audited financial statements are finished till later in the year, and by then 2024 will feel like a distant memory if it doesn't already. And so this is just doing this while it's a little bit fresher and a little bit more in everyone's mind, and getting the story part, the narrative part out into the world while it is a bit more of the moment. That certainly will be by the fall.
That's such a great beach read.
It's a great treat. Virginia brought jokes.
And again, just to remind everybody, the delay in the audited financials is not necessarily an R issue. It's waiting for third-party data like the state pension fund information to come in.
So this will be your tie, and we're a calendar year reporter. So, yeah.
So this, the bifurcation was a move to try and get information out sooner. Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve the activities report? Thanks, Josh. Second?
Greg Dumont, second.
Greg, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the report is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next, Clark on the Economic Transformation SSBCI Angel Map.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see everyone. So the Angel Match program is one of six programs for New Jersey that is funded by the State Small Business Credit Initiative, or SSBCI. The SSBCI is nearly a $10 million federal program, and it's designed to support small businesses and entrepreneurship in communities across the United States. New Jersey is eligible to receive approximately $255 million. Of this amount, Angel Match is allocated around $20 million. So that total $255 million, it's distributed to New Jersey in three tranches. The first tranche was received in March 2023. It's approximately $79 million. The second tranche can be requested once 80% of the first tranche is distributed, which will be approximately $63 million. And at the end of the first quarter, $40 million have been dispersed. So for Angel Match, the EDA provides funding to early stage tech and biotech companies. These funds are in the form of a convertible promissory note The note has a 3% fixed interest rate and a 10-year maturity. Currently, each note can range from $100,000 up to $500,000, and this amount is determined by the match to the company's outside fundraise. At minimum, we match on a one-to-one basis. We also receive a warrant that is equal to 50% of our note amount. The program launched in September of 2023. We have received 18 applications for investment, and we've resulted in 10 that have already closed for over $4.6 million. We also have 2 that are currently approved and are in their closing process, 4 that are in-house under review, and 2 have withdrawn their application. So we had recently received a request from the SSBCI to look into new ways to increase the amount of capital and also the speed of deployment. We identified 3 program changes, which are minor but would also achieve these goals. The requested updates are the following. To increase our maximum note amount from $500,000 to $1 million, the matching ratio will continue to be on a one-to-one basis. A reduction to the minimum amount of investors that are in our matching round, and that would be lowered to 1. Funds raised from company employees or family members would still continue to not be eligible for a match. And then the 3rd update would be to expand the type of revenue we consider for our minimum revenue requirement. Our requirement is a company has to generate at least $100,000 in the last 12 months. To date, we've been very strict on the type of revenue we consider towards this threshold, and that is just direct product sales. But product-based companies actively generate capital and revenue through other activities beyond this. So we'd like to also consider revenue that's generated from activities like contract research, contract manufacturing, grants, install, service, and maintenance fees with this minimum. Those are 3 updates we're looking to make. The remainder of the program is the same. These updates will increase the number of companies we finance and also the number of capital these companies should raise. Conclude my prepared statements. Happy to field any questions.
So today we have a portfolio of 10 of these.
Correct.
Can you just describe kind of the types of companies that are in that portfolio?
Sure. So they kind of run the gambit from fintech to real estate. And we've tried also to be geographic. You from down south, let's skew a little to the north. I think one thing that is pretty proud of, they continue to grow track of it both internally through reporting, and also we ran some PitchBook, which is a third-based aggregator, some stats, which have shown growth of the companies. And also, they score pretty well on diverse. So with the common app questions we ask around diversity, over 70% of the portfolio has answered 1 for the management group of the company. So we've been doing well in that.
And we have warrants in these companies.
Correct. We get a warrant for 50%. Which would allow us 50% of our note amount, which is at the round that we match. So in the future, if the companies do sell or exit for a profit, we could purchase and get the difference of the current round they're running.
I'm surprised we don't have more uptake. It seemed like a very attractive program.
We're a little bit also subject to the market, since we have to coordinate when companies are raising with the private market. So I think the uptick and the dollar amount will definitely help. And especially, we know that the companies that we've already helped are raising money again, so some of them will be able to come back for the balance.
Any other questions, comments?
Clark, did we see an appetite in the community to raise the loan amount from 500 to 1 million, or is that to align better with the funding from the federal?
I would say that's internal. So actually, if you look at our match requirement, many companies, I don't have the number ahead of me online prepared. I could definitely send it to you. But more than half, I want to say, raised more than the $500,000. I want to say the number was around one. We could have done, if we were already at $1 million, pushing almost $2 million more of investment in these companies.
Anyone else in the room? Any board members on the phone? Questions or comments? Hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve these suggested changes to the program? Next, second?
Second, Charla.
Thank you, Charles. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the changes are approved. Thank you. Next, John, on amendments to the NJ ZIP recapture policy.
Morning, everybody. Today I'm presenting a memo requesting two amendments to the voucher recapture policy for the New Jersey Zero Emission Incentive Program, or NJZIP, as the section is called. As a reminder, NJZIP is a voucher-style program which helps New Jersey businesses and institutions purchase medium and heavy-duty zero-emission vehicles. Vehicle vendors in the program agree to reduce the upfront cost of these vehicles by the approved voucher amount, and then after delivery, the vendor submits documentation to the authority and gets reimbursed for that agreed-upon voucher amount. We are currently working hard to launch applications soon for phase three in the coming months of the program. After receiving their NJZIP grant approval and following an execution of the grant agreement, the awardee and their chosen vendor have up to 18 months to deliver and submit all proof of purchase and registration documentation to the authority and disperse these funds. Part of this includes proof of vehicle delivery, which then marks the beginning of a three-year compliance term for the awardee, requiring them to operate the vehicle in state predominantly during that time period. Currently, our NJZIP program prohibits both the sale of the grantee's business as well as the sale of any ZIP-funded vehicles during this three-year compliance term. Previously, the board had approved a sliding scale recapture policy, so on a prorated basis, recapture funds if the event of default during this three-year term, depending on when that default occurs. This original recapture policy was written primarily to address any awardees selling their vehicle, whereas the first policy amendment before you today is to also allow for businesses to avoid default if their entity undergoes sale or restructuring. This can be through acquisition, merger, bankruptcy, or similar transaction, and the awardee would be able to request that the new entity be approved by the authority to assume any remaining compliance obligations under the NJZIP program for the remainder of that three-year term. The new entity would be required to, one, meet the same purchaser eligibility for the NJZIP program, and two, agree to continue on any obligations for the remainder of the agreement term. Administratively, the original awardee would have to notify the authority of the proposed sale of their business. The authority would then collect and review eligibility information on the new entity, and if approved, have them sign an updated and amended agreement. If the purchasing entity is for some reason not determined to meet program eligibility, or if the sale is conducted without prior approval, this would remain an event of default, and the current recapture policy would still apply. The second proposed amendment today is regarding the calculation period for the pro rata percentage in the event of default. Currently, this is based on time elapsed from date of executed grant agreement. However, in that 18-month window of voucher reservation, vehicles delivered at varying terms. So to align with both the operational compliance period that starts at delivery, we're asking to amend this recapture policy to be based more appropriately on time elapsed from date of vehicle delivery rather than date of executed grant agreement. Given that we have ongoing compliance for phase one and phase two ZIP awardees, we would maintain the current policy for those awardees, so it would only be a change forward-looking for future phase three grantees. We hope these adjustments will help ensure flexibility and fairness for the NJZIP program as we continue to improve upon lessons learned during our ongoing program administration to get ready to launch phase three. Happy to answer any questions during this time. Again, this is a popular program. We granted $165 million approved. We've had some of those fall through, but yeah, we have over 225 vehicles already on the road. We're seeing constant demand for phase three. People are eager and ready for us to launch.
And funded by Reggie.
Correct.
Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve the suggested changes?
Dragon motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Second?
Roger, second.
Bill? Yeah. Okay, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the suggested changes are approved. Thanks, Sean. Next, Alexander on New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund Qualified Investment, another qualified investment.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you today to present staff's recommendation
for the EDA's sixth qualified investment under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund program. As a reminder, the program is a partnership with the private sector that raises and invests funds in high-growth New Jersey-based companies and increases venture capital funding available to the state's ecosystem. To date, we have approved 19 qualified venture firms under the program and have invested and reserved nearly $20 million across five portfolio company investments, including reserve for subsequent follow-on investments. The program investment recommended for funding today is an application by Firefly Venture Partners for a $1.25 million co-investment into the Series C stock financing round of Polygon Systems, Inc., an innovative microplastics removal company based in Princeton. Staff will reserve up to an additional $190,000 for direct administrative expenses, up to an additional $171,900 for related management fee expenses, and an additional $1.25 million for future follow-on investments into Polygon. Firefly Venture Partners was approved as a program-qualified venture firm under delegated authority in May 2025. The firm was established in 2012 as a women-led seed-stage venture capital firm based in San Francisco with a presence in Zurich, and is currently investing out of its $43 million third primary fund vehicle. Firefly invests in early-stage, deep, and frontier technology companies with domain expertise and access to proprietary data. The firm collectively manages nearly $100 million across funds. Polygon is revolutionizing the $200 billion water treatment industry with its innovative solution for microplastic pollution. Founded in 2021 as a spin-out from Princeton University, Polygon has developed a patented filtration media that passively captures microplastics from wastewater facilities, industrial outflows, and natural water bodies. Since its inception, Polygon has made significant strides attracting customers and developing its product. Within 2 years, the company launched the world's first industrial microplastic treatment pilot with the Atlantic County Utilities Authority in New Jersey, which is set to remove over 580 million microplastics annually. Polygon has secured three paying municipal customers representing $1.2 million in expected 2025 contract revenue, and is conducting preliminary pilot studies with notable Fortune 500 companies and additional government customers. The company's core team comes from Princeton University and has diverse professional backgrounds spanning several fields, including urban geography, architecture, and advanced sciences. All four members of the company's full-time team work in New Jersey, and capital uses of the planned total $4 million seed round will include an expansion of the New Jersey-based team and occupying a dedicated space to handle the company's office, lab, and manufacturing needs. Any program investment will be contingent upon Firefly successfully executing its $1.25 million investment into Polygon. I'll conclude my prepared remarks by reiterating staff's recommendation for approval. Thank you for your consideration, and I'll take any questions at this time.
Any questions or comments?
I know it works. CEO did. It was pretty good. I understand.
Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? This will be our sixth investment in the Evergreen Fund co-investment program. Okay, hearing no one on the phone, hearing questions, can I hear a motion to approve?
Fred Dumont, make the motion.
Okay, Fred, second.
I'll second it.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refuses, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Good luck. David Ramsey on the MOU between the NJEDA and the New Jersey Council of County Colleges.
Morning, all, Chairman O'Toole and members of the board. The board memorandum before you requests the approval of a memorandum of understanding between NJEDA and the New Jersey Council of Community Colleges that will enable NJEDA to provide $100,000 in funding for support of the AI for Impact's internship program. We are also requesting delegated authority to the CEO to extend the MOU by up to 12 months if needed. But by way of background, and I'm sure as you are all aware, statewide artificial intelligence adoption has been identified as a strategic priority by the Murphy administration It also aligns with the government's broader economic development strategic plan. AI adoption is also an opportunity to cultivate our existing talent and resources in the state. And in addition, NJEDA has made a significant investment in the AI hub, which will leverage state and private funding to catalyze innovation in the state and workforce development in artificial intelligence. To further advance the goal of strengthening AI education and workforce development in our state, EDA will provide funding to NJCCC to create the AI for Impact Internship Program in collaboration with the New Jersey Office of Innovation and Innovate West. The internship program will provide stipends for up to 10 New Jersey Community College students to complete AI-related projects for New Jersey state agencies, including NJEDA. NJCCC will pilot the fellowship with 5 students in the fall semester of 2025 and an additional 5 students in the spring semester of 2026. Teams of students will use generative AI to support projects developed in collaboration with state government entities that improve the delivery of services and programs for New Jersey residents. Each cohort will be 15 weeks, 15 weeks in the fall and 15 weeks in the spring, and students will work part-time 20 hours per week during their internship. This effort is an expansion of an Innovate US-funded fellowship with the internship with the state of New Jersey. A current spring 2025 cohort of students from New Jersey who attend Northeastern University are engaged in 3 projects with New Jersey state agencies, one with EDA, one with the Attorney General's Office, and one with the Office of the Secretary of State. NJEDA funding will be dedicated to stipends for no more than 10 students, administrative and overhead costs associated with implementing the internship, and travel and other costs associated with mandatory in-person meetings. The Council of County Colleges will manage the overall administration of the internship. The Office of Innovation and Innovate US will provide professional product and project managers to supervise and support the direct project work with state agencies, and they will also provide training and upskilling for internship participants. NJEDA shall disperse funds to NJCCC as milestones are completed in accordance with the schedule in the MOU, and any funds not utilized by the end of the MOU shall be returned to NJEDA, and the original term of the MOU is 12 months. Thank you for your consideration and happy to take any questions you may have.
David, if I understand this correctly, the students get $7,500 in a stipend, is that right?
That is, yes, $7,500 per student.
And then the rest of the funds go to the administration costs.
Administration and travel costs.
And these, they work for state agencies?
They work, actually, they'll be working in state agencies, not for
yeah,
state agencies.
But yes, that's where their
exactly.
job is
yeah.
taking place.
Their internship will take place in state.
We have an intern?
One of them is with us?
Yeah.
One of those?
Yeah.
We had a one of the existing ones.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Josh. Second?
Second, Tamara.
Thank you, Tamara. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recused, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Next, we're going to move to audit and policy. Oh, sorry, no, wrong page. We already did that. The next item is Jason on government restricted municipality phase 2 grant award and revisions.
Thank you, Chairman. Morning, everyone. We're glad to be presenting the next step in the government-restricted municipalities planning grant program with recommendations for grant awards, which will continue support of economic revitalization efforts in Atlantic City and Patterson. The Economic Recovery Act of 2020 allocated $3 million for GRMs in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and in June 2021, the board authorized both phase 1 and phase 2 of the program. Phase 1 provided $250,000 per GRM to complete strategic action plans that identify technical planning gaps which have stalled achievement of their economic development goals. Phase 2 provides up to $750,000 per GRM to execute recommendations for Phase 1, with up to $250,000 per project. Atlantic City's Phase 1 strategic action plan evaluated development sites throughout the city, recommended citywide initiatives that would draw investors to priority sites and support their economic objectives. Both those recommendations are promoted in Atlantic City's proposal of three projects for phase two. Project one will establish the Live and Work Atlantic City Coalition and conduct a study of the real estate market, housing needs, and employee outreach strategies. Project two will develop and implement a comprehensive Live and Work Atlantic City marketing campaign. And Project three will promote redevelopment of priority sites identified in phase one through targeted marketing plans and producing redevelopment plans when necessary. Their proposal received a score of 72.3 out of 100, and we recommend the award of their requested grant amount of $750,000. Patterson's Phase 1 Strategic Action Plan identified 11 areas of need, and they are proposing the four highest priority projects for Phase 2, which are a reexamination of their 2014 master plan, including recommendations for regulatory revisions, a comprehensive traffic study, a comprehensive parking analysis, and design and engineering for various accessibility and mobility improvements throughout the city, plus targeted streetscaping and wayfinding improvements in strategic corridors and gateways. Their proposal received a score of 68.7 out of 100, and we recommend the award for their requested amount of $590,000. Additionally, based on experience from phase one and other planning grants, we also recommend that the program's optional grant term extension be revised to two optional extensions of up to 6 months each. Extensions would be at the discretion of the authority and require additional progress reports every 3 months until the grant term is completed. We also would like to clarify that the phase two disbursement schedule would be the same as phase one, which is 50% on grant execution, 25% after midpoint progress report, and 25% after completion. That is the recommendations for the GRM program. Happy to answer any questions at this time.
Note that editorially, going back to the very early days from the table, talking about some much smaller initial planning grants that we're starting to sprinkle out as a way to sort of seed the future pipeline of projects. I think that proved quite fruitful. And the legislature and the governor making this kind of funding available starting back in 2020, back when the ERA passed, but a couple other appropriations as well. I mean, with really important and well-received, particularly in the GRMs, but communities throughout the state as well.
Any comments or questions in the room? Comments or questions from the phone? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the suggested grant awards and revisions?
I'll make the motion, Chair. Fred's
moved. Thank you, Fred. Second. All those in favor signify by saying
second,
aye.
Second, Johnson.
Oh, cool.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the suggestions are approved. The next item is on the agenda is legal affairs on Point Laundry Company. This item has been withheld from consideration at this board meeting. So next, we're going to the loan review committee matters. Marcia, is Marcia on the phone? She's not. Marcia Marley? No? Okay, so Marcia is not on the phone to give a report, so we'll just move through to the action items for today. The first is on FEMIRA loan maturity extension. Nancy?
Okay, well, Muncie is getting set up. I just thought I'd give a little bit of framing for this and another related item that's on the agenda. So this item and then later a real estate item related to Monmouth County office space are both tied to the excitement we had a month ago, almost to the day, where we broke ground on the Netflix development at Fort Monmouth. And so these two items together are both preparatory to ultimately Netflix moving into their new home here in New Jersey. So both the preparations we're making on our loan with Tamara and our office space are related to planning for timing around their closing and other action items. Big day and another big day last month and another good step forward today. Thanks, Monty.
So hi, everyone. For consideration today, our maturity extension requests on the existing loan from the authority to FEMIRA used to support redevelopment of the former military base. We are recommending loan maturity extensions to December 31st, 2027 on two loans. The first loan is a $5 million working capital loan with a $4.2 million current balance, scheduled to mature on October 1st, 2025. And the second loan is a $21.8 million direct loan with a $14.5 million current balance used to refinance the original purchase of the properties from the U.S. Army. This one is scheduled to mature October 1st, 2026. Repayment on the two loans is based on sale of collateral properties. However, Femira is expecting minimal repayments until the anticipated sale of the 292-acre of land term, the mega parcel, to Netflix. Both loans will be repaid with the proceeds of the sale. Due to available extension periods for due diligence, approval, and pre-closing conditions for the sale agreement, the contractual closing date could be as late as December 7, 2027. Therefore, we are recommending that the loan maturities be extended to December 31, 2027. Additionally, both loans will be amended to require payment in full upon the sale of the mega parcel should the transaction occur sooner. We have reviewed the financial projections provided by Femira to assess the financial condition, and it is noted that Femira will have sufficient funds to cover operations until December 2027 if needed. Thank you for your time. Any questions?
What's, I know the December 2027 is the outside date. What's the expected date? When would you expect the transaction?
So it's late this year.
End of the year, yeah.
Okay, but this year.
This year, 2020, the hell you're in, 2025.
And out of curiosity, when the loan is repaid, what happens to the cash?
Back on the balance sheet.
On the EDA balance sheet. So this is an EDA loan. And was the 21, originally the second loan was $21 million, it's now 14. Was that through repayment?
Yes, through repayment. We have had multiple repayments on both of the loans. We just don't have anything major.
Yeah. Great. Any questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? What are the rates on the loans? Just out of curiosity.
They're both
2%.
And we're going to extend at this.
Any comments or questions on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve the extensions? Thank you. Second?
Second, Charles.
Thank you, Charles. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the extensions are approved.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, a presentation by Marina on advanced schools bond underwriting.
Morning, everyone. The applicant Advanced Schools, Inc. is requesting authority assistance as a tax-exempt bond conduit issuer for a series of charter school revenue bonds in an amount not to exceed $32,500,000. The applicant entity was formed in 2022 as a nonprofit organization founded to provide support services to Central Jersey College Prep Charter School, a public charter school organized in 2006. Whose charter was recently renewed for another five-year term on January 31st, 2025. In addition to receiving various national awards and recognition for their performance, the K-12 public charter school is a Tier 1 charter school for the past 10 years, as well as a Blue Ribbon Award recipient from the U.S. Department of Education. The charter school currently operates in two locations, including the subject property located at 101 Mettlers Road, also known as 101 Mettlers Lane, Franklin Township in Somerset County, New Jersey. The school is currently leasing the building from the seller of the property. With the proceeds of the bonds, the applicant entity would be purchasing the building and then leasing the property to the charter school. Additional proceeds will also fully fund a debt service reserve fund equal to the maximum annual debt service on the bonds. Proceeds will also pay costs associated with the issuance of the bonds. This bond project will be a public offering with bond underwriter RBC Capital Markets, LLC. The authority is in receipt of the preliminary official statement in substantially final form. The Series 2025 bonds have minimum denominations of $5,000 or any integral multiple of $5,000 in excess thereof. Anticipated maturities on these bonds will be 10, 20, 30, and 35 years. As of June 10th, the Moody's final credit rating is Baa3, which is investment grade with a stable outlook. Advanced Schools, Inc., the borrower, will be the property purchaser, owner, and lessor. The charter school and project user will be the property lessee. the annual lease payment between the applicant and the charter school is being sized to cover the minimum annual debt service payment of the bonds. Based on both the historical and projected performance of the school, there is sufficient coverage to meet the annual lease payment obligation to the applicant entity to repay the annual debt service of the bonds. Both entities have received tax clearance. A legal review and sister agency check were completed on both entities with no issues of concern noted and with clearance recommended. The applicant and the charter school are both 501c3 nonprofit entities for which the authority may issue tax-exempt bonds as permitted under Section 103 and Section 145 of the 1986 Internal Revenue Code as amended and are not subject to state volume cap limitation pursuant to Section 146g of the code. This request is for final approval. The applicant is targeting a closing on the proposed 2025 bonds of no later than July 31st, 2025. The public marketing, pricing, and selling of the bonds is expected to take place during the first few weeks of July, with the final closing of the bond issuance to take place on or before July 31st. Thank you for your time.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the project? Thank you, Josh. Second?
Greg Dumas, second.
Thank you, Greg. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Now we will move to Incentives Committee items. The NJEDA Incentives Committee met on May 28th and considered several items, which are being presented for action today, including three digital media tax credit applications and a historic property reinvestment tax credit award application. Staff will present on each of these items. First up is Chris on digital media tax credit program.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to preface my presentation today by just reminding members of the board, the digital media program is a little bit different than film in that it encapsulates expenses for digital media related to projects that are aggregated over the course of an applicant's fiscal year rather than just on a project basis. I just wanted to point that out ahead of time to avoid any potential confusion just because I'll be presenting all three of these CNBC applications together, and they're all backward-facing applications that are spent based on actual spend rather than estimates. The team has completed the review and recommends CNBC LLC's fiscal year 2021, fiscal year 2022, and fiscal year 2023 digital media tax credit applications for approval. These digital media expenses incurred by CNBC are for work done at their headquarters in Englewood Cliffs. As part of eligibility for credits under the program, a project must meet two expense eligibility thresholds. The first is 50% of the applicant's qualified digital media expenses must be for wages and salaries paid to full-time W-2 employees in New Jersey. The second is the applicant must incur at least $2 million in qualified digital media content production expenses through vendors authorized to do business in New Jersey. This project does meet, these projects rather, do meet both eligibility requirements, with 66%, 61%, and 64% of their respective qualified spend incurred for wages and salaries paid to New Jersey workers, and clearing the $2 million vendor threshold with over $8 million, $13 million, and $12 million in vendor spend, respectively. The applications include $42 million, $54.5 million, and $59 million in qualified spend for total awards of $12.7 million for 2021, $16.3 million for 2022, and $17.7 million for 2023. We have the current tax clearance certificate for the applicant. We've received a budget comfort letter, a taxation acknowledgement letter. Well, Department of Labor and Legal Review also cleared for all three applications. I just wanted to also note that we moved over $26,302,508 from the legacy film tax credit allocation over to the digital media allocation in order to accommodate these approvals. Happy to answer any questions or address any concerns.
So we'll consider all as one vote, correct?
Yes.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions?
Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? All those in the House, motion to approve first.
Angelo.
Yes, Rob. Second.
I'll second it, Jameer.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the credits are approved. Thank you. Next, under the Historic Property Reinvestment Program, the 120 East State Steeple Center Rehabilitation. Good morning.
I am here to present a recommendation for an award to under the Historic Property Reinvestment Program to 120 East State Street, a New Jersey nonprofit organization, in the not-to-exceed amount of $12 million for the Steeple Center Rehabilitation Project in Trenton, just down the street. The program, the APRP program, is designed to work in conjunction with the federal historic tax credit program, and it provides between 45% and 60% of tax credit for under eligible costs for projects with maximum caps based on project type and location. This project is located in VRM, so they're entitled to a tax credit of 60% of their eligible costs up to a maximum of $12 million. We had the last application round under the program closed last December. We received 10 applications. Out of those applications, one withdrew their application. One was approved in March. We have this one today, and there are seven that continue under review. We expect to bring at least three more in the next couple of months for approval. The project involves the complete rehabilitation of the 1839 historic former church and associated 1950s addition in the back into a performing arts venue, visitor, and event center. The applicant is a nonprofit organization, was established in Trenton in 2022. And while this is their first development, they have put together a multidisciplinary team that has extensive experience in rehabilitation of historic buildings. And some, just for general information, some of the samples of work of people in the team, they have worked in the Rolling Loft project, I think most people are familiar with, as well as Sewer Hall rehabilitation in the Princeton Theological Seminary. The applicant is a nonprofit, so there is no co-applicant in this application. The reviews included sister agency legal review and underwriting, as well as full review of the schedule and project budget, including all eligible costs. And additionally, it was scored by selection committee. They received a score of 73.17 out of a possible 100, which is the highest score that we had anybody score so far. They needed to meet a minimum of 50, so they're surpassed. That's that number. The underwriting review completed for the project found that the applicant showed that they had adequate sources of funding to cover all project costs and that there was a reasonable expectation that they would be available to complete the project. They also showed that they had terms for the sale of the credits at 88 cents for the dollar, which exceeds the minimum under the program requirements. Because they're in a GRM, they do not to show that there's a funding gap or that there's equity contribution. However, they do need to show that the project would not be economically feasible without the credit, which they provided that information as part of a feasibility market study. And we're determined that they would not be able to obtain non-recourse conventional bank financing without this credit, and that they had not been able to identify any other sources of. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Anyone comments or questions?
Well, Chair, I think Trent has a rich history. We don't do enough to promote it, so I think this is an excellent program. And at the appropriate time, I'll make the motion.
Anyone on the phone comments or questions?
Yeah, I think that was Fred who was just speaking. It's Liz. I want to echo that. This is an exciting project, so congrats on bringing this together.
Great. Thanks, Liz. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none. Right, can I hear a motion to approve, please? Second?
Second, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions?
Hi, this is Jewel Antoine Johnson. I have to recuse myself on this item for conflict of interest and potential clients.
Okay. Noted. The motion is approved. Thank you. Next, I think we're moving to real estate. Charles, you want to give an update on the committee meeting?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. The EDA Real Estate Committee met on May 29th to review and consider various items that are proceeding to the board today for full review and approval. Some of the highlights include a project budget for the Greenway Phase 1 project. It's a recommendation to award a contract for construction management services. Second item is to enter into a lease agreement for office space for NJ Base, acronym for a new initiative here by the EDA. Third is an Urban Investment Fund grant award. And lastly, entering into a lease agreement for office space in Monmouth County, which replaces every spoken
other. Great. Thanks, Charles. So we'll move through the action items today. The first is, as Charles mentioned, the Greenway Phase 1 project. John?
Thanks, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. First, just want to acknowledge the public comment from the gentleman from Bloomfield. Appreciate the support for the project. So please note today there are multiple requests within the agenda item for the Greenway. So this may go over the suggested time, but happy to take any questions members may have yet. As you may recall, the February board this year, members approved the authority entering into a tri-party MOU with NJDEP and NJ Transit that set the authority as the delivery partner for phase one of the Greenway. The MOU was fully executed by all parties on March 28th. Since that time, the project team has been working diligently to position ourselves to present these items to you today. With this in mind, staff are requesting members approve three items for phase one of the Greenway. First, establishing a not-to-exceed project budget in the amount of $69,200,000. Second, selection of the construction management firm, AECOM Technical Services. Third, delegated authority to the CEO to approve contract changes in the aggregate for up to an amount of $1 million. And to accept changes resulting in credit or no additional cost to the construction management contract, no maximum amount. Starting with the budget on this slide, project budget for phase one is shown in the table on the lower left. As you'll see, our intention when establishing the budget was to ensure that our sources matched our uses. Fund sources for this project are comprised of federal and state monies that total $69.2 million. Our uses are derived from NJDEP's engineer's estimate, which was based on a 100% detailed design. This includes approximately $53 million to cover all pre-construction and construction activities, a 10% construction contingency of approximately $5.3 million, a 4% administrative fee to be collected by the authority, which is 4% of the construction costs and construction contingency. The fee amount shown there is projected amount to be collected. Of the 4% fee, a maximum of $800,000 to be collected from the federal source due to a federal cap on administrative fees. The rest of the fee will be collected from the state source. Lastly, to make the uses match the sources, we're holding approximately $8.5 million in reserve as owner contingency. The team feels that the construction budget is estimated well to account for rising costs and market volatility. So leaving the owner contingency in reserve without assurances our budget to our budget if economic conditions impact the bidding climate during development. If any of the owner contingency is utilized for construction, the authority will apply our fee appropriately. So key notes regarding the budget provided on the slide and in the board memo. If you go to the next slide, Victor. So on this side, we'll cover the other two requests. Our second request is regarding the selection of the construction manager. As a delivery partner for phase one, the authority elected to engage a construction management firm to execute this project. In collaboration with our procurement department, the authority has identified a responsive construction management firm to deliver phase one. This firm, AECOM, was procured utilizing DPMC's qualified pool of construction managers in accordance with state policy. In response to the authority's request, AECOM has proposed the following. A construction fee of 3% of the cost of the work with a guaranteed maximum price, or a construction fee of 2.25% without a guaranteed maximum price. These fees are in line with industry rates for construction management services in this locality of the Newark area. Within 60 days of issuance of the award to the construction manager or sooner, we will select a fee and delivery method. Our team coordinate with NJDEP prior to selection of the fee offering. Now we've established the budget and the firm to execute the project within that budget. We need to address one other item, which is changes during construction. Briefly to our third request regarding delegated authority. So a delegated authority of $1 million to the CEO will be required for approval of contract changes during construction. A singular contract change or a cumulative number of changes may not exceed $1 million. Changes exceeding this delegated authority will require board approval. This value is consistent with past real estate development requests for projects of similar size and scope. Exercising this authority is conditional on the availability of funds within the approved project budget. Within this authority, the CEO will be able to accept contract changes resulting in a credit or no additional cost to the contract with no maximum amount. Approval of these requests at this time will allow the authority to award the construction manager and immediately begin working towards a late summer 25 construction mobilization, which is needed to meet substantial completion of December 31st, 2026, and expend our funding sources prior to their respective deadline. Again, I know this was a PAC request, so thank you for your time. Happy to take any questions members may have.
I know this is an impossible question to answer, but degree of difficulty of this construction project, is this a average, more difficult? How would you rate it?
Well, just working through the wind port, it's pretty easy. No, I'd say it's average. There's definitely some challenges.
Okay, I mean,
weekend project.
It is an old Norfolk Southern rail line, so there may be some unanticipated site conditions we may encounter, but we're ready to deal with that. We've done much exploration before the project's begun, so minimal issues.
And I can't remember when we first discussed this. Does this $69 million, how much of the greenway does that complete?
That completes phase one, the Newark section only. Okay. So that's 8/10 of a mile. The full greenway development, all phases, is 9 miles.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
John, you think we're breaking ground this year, right?
Yes.
We're just going to be there with a shovel, whether we're ready or not. Going to
stand there.
Anyone on the phone with comments or questions?
Hey, real quick, it's Rob Angelo. Any concerns about the federal funding piece?
So the concerns there is the timeline for expenditures, December 31st, 2026. And that's why we're getting everything in order to hit the ground running in the month of July after this award and get bids out to subcontractors to get work going. Fortunately, only half of the budget is federal monies, the rest are state monies, so we're confident we can expend the federal monies before the deadline and then move into the state.
That's budget. What I was going to ask you, don't have to spend them pro rata, you can spend the federal.
Correct.
Thank you.
It's true, will be true in the Terminal Center as well. Similar kind of thesis there.
And expenditure means check out the door. Right?
get a discount. Erica, anybody on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Thank you, Josh, second.
Dragon second.
Thanks, Liz. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Exciting. Love it.
Thank you.
Andrew, on lease agreement for office space for NJ Base.
Hi, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Andrew Gross, and I serve as the EDA's Director of International Innovation Partnerships. Our office oversees international engagement across the authority, supporting inbound investment, diplomatic outreach, and coordination across agencies for global partnership development. At our core, our mission is to promote and expand foreign economic activity in New Jersey. Foreign direct investment, FDI, has driven over $16.8 billion to New Jersey in the past decade, creating 320 companies and over 33,000 jobs. Yet, New Jersey-based entrepreneurs regularly highlight the lack of local infrastructure to support local startups. In response, EDA created NJ Base, the New Jersey Business Acceleration and Soft Landing Ecosystem. This initiative will serve as a launch pad for international companies entering the United States via New Jersey by offering a full suite of services, including free, high-quality co-working space, tailored business support, and a six-week business immersion program designed to integrate participants into New Jersey's innovation ecosystem and market networks. NJ Base will be managed by a third-party operator, selected through an NJEDA-run RFP, and housed in the location we are proposing today, which would support up to 20 companies at a time. The RFP will launch this month, aligned with a proposed three-year lease. The selected operator will manage a space, oversee programming, and propose the structure of an advisory board subject to EDA approval. The advisory board will guide strategy, connect the ecosystem, and measure impact. To support a timely launch, we are asking the board to delegate authority to the CEO for up to $2 million, providing flexibility to complete the RFP process and ensure the operator is in place before the lease begins. To support NJ Base's successful launch, NJEDA conducted a comprehensive site search across Jersey City, Hoboken, and Newark, prioritizing transit-accessible turnkey locations. 15 properties were evaluated in collaboration with JLL, a real estate selection evaluation committee toured three top locations all in Jersey City, 10 Exchange Place at 5,128 square feet furnished, 30 Montgomery Street, 5,837 square feet unfurnished, and 3 Second Street, 7,313 square feet furnished. The committee unanimously selected 3 Second Street, a 7,313 square foot fully furnished Class A office space offering transit access, event space, parking, and immediate move-in readiness. Base rent is $44.75 per square foot. This site stood out for size, functionality, and value, making it ideal for NJ Base's needs. Today, we are seeking the board's authorization to proceed with lease negotiations and execution for NJ Base at 3 Second Street in Jersey City. Specifically, we are requesting approval to authorize lease terms and execution at 3 Second Street, approve initial funding up to $90,231, including $58,013 for a security deposit, $29,000 for furniture and improvements, and $3,218 for utilities. Lastly, we are requesting approval to delegate authority to the CEO for up to $2 million for the operator RFP. The full lease spans 41 months, includes 5 months free annual escalations, 2 1-year renewals, and landlord provided fit out. The estimated present value is $902,265 over 3 years. All board approvals are contingent upon completion of NJEDA's legal and compliance review of the landlord. By approving these actions, the board will enable NJ Base to launch on time, positioning New Jersey as a premier destination for global innovation, job creation, and economic growth. Thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions in the room? Questions or comments from board members on the phone?
An exciting one. No, not our 13 international trade missions. Probably get 11 off the top of my head. 13 of them. And this is the kind of thing that's been very, very needed in a lot of those conversations, because it's sometimes you go to a country and you're talking to some, you know, Fortune 500 size company that wants a U.S. headquarters. That's great. Sometimes it's some startup that has 7 people in Tel Aviv or Mumbai or Dublin, and they're looking for 1 or 2 people somewhere in the States to see how it goes. That's not really in the market. Or is that without some subsidy, the kind of thing that a real estate developer would do, because that's not a credit tenant kind of a thing to do. And so there's toeholds for early stage companies to come and then hopefully grow and blossom.
Is this something that other states do?
Can you help me out there? I mean, New York, we know, is up to one.
Yes.
New York City.
New York City is currently developing one of these sites.
Okay.
So the main one we know about.
From the trade missions, do we have kind of a laundry list of leads that we're going to be able to give the operator?
We do, and we're going to choose certainly to handle those leads. And were you at the typing on over the weekend? Indus Entrepreneurs, there's a group. We did an MOU with a group in India. I think they're from India, but they're in India. They did a big event over the weekend. So we have a lot of those. There's a lot of different sort of network codes.
Anyone on the phone, comments or questions?
No, just
okay, hearing none, can I get a motion to approve entering into the lease?
Sorry, it was just Liz I was saying, this is the wraparound service aspect of this is really great. This is another exciting project. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I hear a motion to approve?
I'll move, Charlotte.
Thanks. Second?
Second, Liz.
Thanks, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Look.
Thank you.
Dan, on Camden Community Partnership.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, members of the board.
Straight from the bleachers out of the field. I appreciate it. Yes.
He was warming up.
We are seeking your approval for two actions under the Urban Investment Fund program. The first is a $5.73 million grant to the Camden Community Partnership to undertake five projects along the Federal Street Corridor in Camden. The second is to revise language in the board memo creating this program. Language in that board memo required full project completion by December 31st, 2026. We want to revise the language to require full expenditures of funds, not full project completion. So just quick background, in March of 2024, this board approved the creation of the Urban Investment Fund grant program and capitalized it with $38.2 million in federal ARP coronavirus funds. Six municipalities, Camden, Newark, Trenton, Patterson, New Brunswick, and Passaic, were chosen. In February of this year, you approved five applications, and today we present the remaining application from Camden. If approved, the approximately $38.2 million allocated will be fully allocated. Under the program, each municipality was allowed to select a commercial corridor area that could reverse the negative impact of COVID-19. The city of Camden has designated Federal Street as its commercial corridor to draw more visitors, residents, students, and increase economic activity in that area. Next slide, please. So the Camden Community Partnership has identified five projects to undertake along the commercial corridor. One involves a building rehab. The other four involve public parks. The building rehab project is located at 2631 Federal Street. Funding will transform this vacant building into flexible retail office and community space that will serve residents and small businesses. The four public parks, the first is Roosevelt Plaza Park. Improvements include new kiosk, tree seating, and an outdoor dining area. The second public park is the Wiggins Promenade along the waterfront. Improvements include infrastructure work, wayfinding signage, and public art installations. The third park is Sheila Roberts Park. Funding will improve sidewalks, plazas, and playground features to better serve the neighborhood. And Clinton Street Playground, improvements include a gazebo, outdoor fitness area, entertainment space, and streetscape elements. The total projected investment for all five projects is $7.13 million, with more than $1.4 in matching funds from city, county, philanthropic, and state sources. We have reviewed the Camden application and find it meets all program criteria. Thus, we recommend approval of the approximately $5.73 million grant to Camden Community Partnership. Additionally, we recommend approval to revise funding language to align with federal, state, local fiscal recovery funds expenditure rules, ensuring all funds are expended by December 31st, 2026. At this time, happy to take your questions.
I have two quick questions just to orient us. Is that map, that's the blue lines going to the Ben Franklin Bridge on the left, is that right?
Yes.
So that's like our headquarters is down in that square that's outlined. Don't we have an office down there?
Yeah. So
right where the box for campus is.
Mm-hmm. And the second question is, revision to the language with respect to expenditure of funds, does that apply to all of the grants or just the Camden grant?
All the grants.
All the grants.
Yes.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve both the Camden grant and the revision to the language with respect to date?
Dragon, motion.
Thank you. Brent, I'll consider that a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any recusals, abstentions, or noes? Okay, hearing none, the motions are approved.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Next, Monmouth County office space. Brian, gonna.
Good morning. So we are here to discuss and seek approval for a lease for 8,800 square feet of office space at 12 Christopher Way, which will house both EDA and Premier staff. As Mary mentioned before, the good news is Netflix is buying the property of Fort Monmouth. The bad news is we're being evicted from our own property and need to find replacement space. So a group of PDA staff surveyed several properties, identified five that qualified, and scored those properties. 12 Christopher Way came in with the highest rating, both from a financial standpoint and from positive accommodations. So we're seeking approval to lease that space. The lease is for 5 years with 2 5-year renewals at $1,850 a square foot. Additionally, we're seeking approval for $740,000 for tenant improvements for furniture, fixtures, and equipment to that space. The landlord will be doing the physical build-out of the space. You can look if you'd like.
What do we currently have?
Give us a
It's not,
yeah, so it's a little over 2,000 square feet, but it's not good 2,000 square feet of space. And this would allow the EDA staff to grow. So we could, there's a number of people, about 18 staff people between Premier and EDA in Fort Monmouth. There are several more who wish to be in that space. So this would allow us to accommodate 12 private offices and up to 36 cubes. So 48 people in 12. And I actually went over the section. That is the approval request before you is for a 5-year lease with 2-year renewals at $18.50 a square foot and $740,000 for tenant improvements. Any questions?
Board members, questions? Anyone on the phone, questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Move it, Jamara.
Thank you. Second. Thanks, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Tim, board memoranda?
Yeah, I'll be really brief. You have three delegated authority memos in your pack. It's an executive session moment, so I won't take up too much time, but economic transformation. A lot of the things like annual tax credit manufacturing voucher program that I mentioned in my CEO remarks, as well as there's delegated information about the Green Bank first annual report, which pretty much details that it was created and has existed for a year and is getting stood up. Take any questions?
Executive session. All right, we're going to move now to executive session. I would like to now request a motion to enter executive session to discuss two distinct matters, both involving the purchase, lease, or acquisition of real property with public funds, the settling of banking rates, or the investment of public funds that could adversely affect the public interest disclosed, the minutes of which will become available when the need for confidentiality no longer exists. Could I hear a motion to approve moving to executive session, please? Thank you. Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, we are now in executive session.
So, staff members do or not need to executive session to Verizon. Please make sure that the members of the public
who are not on the speaker line are in the separated into a separate line.
Is that using the secret shopper? How are we checking on this? Are you using the secret shopper to make sure we're actually an executive?
No. Fabiola, can you handle that?
You have joined the breakout room. You have joined the main room.
And we are reconnected to the public. And we are reconnected to the public.
Reconnected.
They've already made a press release while we've been in the board.
Really? We're reconnected.
All right, we are back in public session. We have two items to vote on today. The first item is allocating properly assemblage funds to CRDA and approve a memorandum of understanding granting the funds to the CRDA and revisions to the property assemblage fund. Could I hear a motion to approve, please? Thank you. Second?
As discussed in executive session.
As discussed in executive session.
Okay, yeah, I know.
A second, please.
I'll second, Andrew Mayor.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the item is approved. Secondly, the purchase of properties from NJ Transit Corporation for transit-oriented development, as discussed in executive session. Could I hear a motion to approve, please?
Angelo.
Rob, second.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none.
He's going to stay here.
He did it the hard way. He's leaving.
Yes. So just for the record, Fred has accused from the second item. We have, there has been an affirmative vote, so that item is approved. Lastly, can I hear a motion to adjourn today's meeting, please?
Motion.
Fred Dumont.
Second. Back in action.
And second.
Thank you. Jamira seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much and enjoy the next 4 weeks until our next meeting.